Mark chapter 13, 28 through 37. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. It was Erasmus, the Renaissance Dutch humanist, who wrote, "There are some people who live in a dream world, and there are some who face reality, and then there are those who turn one into the other." And this seems like a very contemporary social commentary, does it not? And while his thought could be parsed at great length, a major thrust of the idea is that there are those who live in and according to what is really real, and that there are those who live in a fantasy, what I call the fantasy of the lost. And in verse 31 in our passage today, Jesus testified to the definition of reality. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And Jesus is saying that his word is more concrete, it's more stable, it's more secure than even heaven and earth. His word is eternal. Indeed, his words create and define reality. Like when the Lord spoke in Genesis 1, "Let there be light," and there was light. He speaks and it is so. Now, Christians, we know Jesus. We live by his word. His word defines our worldview, how we engage with the world around us and what is important to us, and how we understand the very meaning of life. We understand that Jesus embodies the truth, and it is by his truth which we live. Not so the unbeliever. The unbeliever is cut loose from the anchor of reality and lives in a dream world. Their worldview is based on whatever the culture imprints upon them. They engage the world around them according to the fluid values and morals defined by society. And what is important to them is derived from what is important to the world. And the meaning of life? Pick a meaning. Any meaning. There's so many. Pick one. Claim it. And that is your truth. For according to the world, truth is relative. So the faithful Christian, who knows the Word of God, the Bible, and the person, lives in reality, sees the true path through the fog of dreams that the world spews our way. Yet as Erasmus observed, some people can turn reality into the dream and vice versa. What this can look like for the Christian is a blending of priorities. When the concerns of the world blend in our life with the concerns for Christ, and such can even lead to the concerns of the world superseding the concerns of Christ. And you see this when things such as tradition, adherence to societal norms, concerns about money, and so forth are valued more than obedience, valued more than the denial of ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. And rather than following Jesus along the narrow path of reality, the fantasy widens the path, confuses the path. Accordingly, we end up so involved in worldly concerns that we risk losing track of reality, moving from our living in reality to living according to the fantasy of the lost. Simply, there is a tendency for Christians to get overly caught up in worldly concerns. Now, Jesus, of course, he knew of this tendency. Hence, he repeatedly told his disciples in our passage today to stay awake and continue his discourse on the looming fall of Jerusalem and his eventual return. Jesus emphasizes the certainty of his promises, the certainty of his prophecies, that his word is true and will come to pass, and the imperative of not getting caught up in the fantasy of the lost. As Jesus was speaking on the Mount of Olives, which was known not only for its olive trees, but also for its fig trees, perhaps he gestured to a nearby fig tree as he gave his illustration, verse 28. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. Now here Jesus points to factual phenomenon in nature, where the state of the fig tree indicates the closeness of the season. And he tells his disciples to learn from this fact. Perhaps this, you know, with this statement, they were thinking, well, what lesson? It just is. That's the way it is. Well, exactly. Jesus spells it out for them, though, and how the fig tree's nature fits the context of his discourse so far. Verse 29. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he, and this is also translated as it by some, it is near the gates, at the very gates. And Jesus here refers to these things. And he's referencing to something that he's already spoken about. And verse 30 helps us to narrow down the when and the where this is. Verse 30, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And thus the events that he referred to will occur while the generation to which he was speaking is still alive. Indeed, this fits the events of the abomination of desolation in AD 67 and 68 with the zealots' profanation of the temple and their raising up Fanny as the high priest. And Jesus warned, he warned to be alert for this abomination and to be ready to flee. And we looked at that in detail last week. So when they see the abomination of desolation, it would be like the fig tree putting out leaves, heralding the nearness of summer. The abomination would herald the impending siege and destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which would then take place in AD 69 and 70. As Jesus said, it, the siege and the fall, is near at the very gates. And Jesus spoke these prophecies knowing that people would hear his words, that his people would then pass them on. Hence, the generation at hand would be able to, as we know many of them did, would be able to react, be able to flee when these things happen. And the fulfillment of that prophecy, it served as a proof text of sorts to his statement in verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus spoke, and it was so. His words were proven to be reality to the very generation to which he spoke. And they proved the veracity of the prophecy of his return. And for that generation, the warnings were very immediate. He had said, this will happen while your generation is alive. And this should have made them very alert to the foretold sign that would signify the destruction of Jerusalem, as he told them in verse 27, be on guard. He said, be on guard, because people quickly forget. We quickly become not on guard. And over time, urgent warnings, they become background chatter. And they're not at the forefront of our thoughts. They're forgotten. And they get lost in the immediacy of the mundane. And so the truth becomes like a dream. And the fantasy of security, that is the world, becomes the reality. And this is why Jesus says, don't forget, this is happening. I have spoken, therefore it is so. And he wanted to keep them from being lulled asleep, living in a dream defined by the world around them. He wanted them to live anchored in the reality of which he spoke. And for us, the hard truth of Jesus' words here have been softened by distance and time. The events he spoke of occurred on the other side of the world nearly 2 millennia ago. Indeed, from what I've seen, many people, including Christians, are not even aware of these particular events that spoke to the veracity of Jesus' word. So we're lulled by time into losing the mindset of urgency and alertness towards the events the fall of Jerusalem foreshadowed. Hence, Jesus repeatedly tells us in verses 32 to 37 to stay awake, be ready for what is coming. Know that it is certainly coming. Live accordingly. And because Jesus' prophecy has been fulfilled, we must stay awake. Verse 32. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And Jesus, once again, he jumps from the events that would occur within that generation to the events that would occur sometime after those events. And at the time that he spoke, Jesus' statement perplexingly revealed that when that time would come, that day or that hour, is something that only the Father knew. Now, some folks have a hard time with this verse. How can Jesus, who is God, not know something? And it seems to be a strike against either God's omniscience or his foreknowledge, or a strike against the credibility of Jesus being God. But that is just overcomplicating things again. Jesus was incarnate, fully God, fully man. And when he left the glories of heaven, being born as a baby and raised as a young man to live the life of a man, he emptied himself. As Paul says in Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself. So when Jesus said he did not know, he was speaking to, as Kent Hughes puts it, the integrity of the incarnation. James Edwards speaks to the consistency of this incarnational emptying as it was an aspect of his entire time leading up to the crucifixion. He says this, "This is, to be sure, very much in accord with Mark's portrayal of Jesus as the Son. For Jesus does not claim the prerogatives of divine sonship apart from complete obedience to the Father's will, but rather forsakes claims and calculations in favor of humble confidence in the Father's will." And that was then. And his limiting of himself was necessary for his mission to the cross and to death, his mission to save his people. And yet now that he has been resurrected and glorified, having ascended into heaven, taken the seat of rule and authority at the right hand of the Father, those limitations have been cast aside. And I think we can be assured that he is fully up to speed on the plans and the times now. Even so, the times of the consummation of the kingdom remain the mystery of God, for we do not know these things. Verse 33, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Jesus' command to be on guard, to keep awake, it speaks to the immediacy of the end. We live in the immediacy of Christ's return. He could come again at any time, despite our being told this. Despite our knowing it, there are so many temptations As Edwards says, false prophets raise false hopes. Mistaken signs raise fears and anxiety. The delay of the parousia induces complacency and neglect. Lack of knowledge induces resignation and defeat. These and other factors tempt disciples to forsake their vocation. And what is this vocation that he speaks of? It's the vocation of every Christian. What is it? Well, let's look at verses 34 through 37. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Our vocation is grounded in Jesus' twice repeated warning. You do not know when that time will come. We are compared to doorkeepers. And doorkeepers have one mission, one priority mission, and that is to stay awake, ready and vigilant for the Master's return. And the fantasy that creeps upon us causes us to forget or even dismiss the urgency of this mission. We think that things will just go on like they always have. And we are lulled into the dream of the world and we find ourselves napping. Napping in how we let the temptations of the world distract us from our mission for Christ. So what does that mission look like for us? What does it mean to stay awake? Well, hasn't Jesus told us? Mark 8:34, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We are to daily follow Jesus. We are to daily deny ourselves for the love and sake of Christ and our neighbor. We are to live lives of repentance, taking our sins to that place of death and putting them to death on that cross. We are to live for Christ. We are to follow him along the narrow path, the path of reality. We are to follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life, resisting the temptation to enter the dream, that fantasy of the lost. And following Jesus in faith and obedience is our primary, first and foremost, the main thing. It's our primary vocation in life. It supersedes all things. Everything. Nothing is more important than that. Nothing. Stay awake and avoiding getting overly caught up in worldly concerns. Because that's the problem. That's what happens. That's what the dream is. Being overly caught up in worldly concerns. Stay awake. Jesus can come again at any time. Now, due to the popularity of erroneous teachings that are out there concerning a supposed rapture that will occur in order to take Christians up into heaven to escape a final tribulation, a word of caution is in order. Do not be fooled by this teaching. The rapture is not taught in the Scriptures. It is a fantasy. Jesus tells us that we, his people, must endure to the end. Mark 13:13. The one who endures to the end will be saved. We are not going to get a reprieve in the tribulations of this life, no matter how severe they may be and may become. Nevertheless, remember, God will cut the days of tribulation short for the sake of the elect on that last day. The parousia, when he returns consummating his kingdom on judgment day, the end. And in the meanwhile, let us endure. Let us stay alert. Stay ready. Because Jesus' prophecy is yet to be fulfilled, we must stay awake. Christ Jesus will come again. His word, which is reality, assures us of this. And although we do not know the time, his return is as guaranteed as yesterday. Jesus proved the veracity of his words with his fulfilled prophecy. And we can take the reality of his not yet fulfilled prophecy to the bank. And because Jesus' words are reality, we must stay awake. Jesus is coming. Stay awake.